George Jeffreys, 24. George Jeffreys woke up in Damascus. The first section is a poem. George Jeffreys woke up in Damascus, braced for the scent of jasmine, fighting the smell of the jasmine, which even in autumn fountained through the room like the water in the courtyard, pinnacling and diamonding, reminding him of dying voluptuousness. A nurse he and Claire had earlier grown to love, and who had died in Indonesia by firing squad, always wore such jasmine, autumnal and evanescent, and it hovered in the Thirroul summer garden, the weeks of her death and of those of conceiving Corbin. Corbin next to him now was almost walking, his small legs braced in his sleep, as if the horizons presented by action were as solid as the movement of jasmine in the nostrils, hypersensual and commanding. And Claire braced her knees in the middle against George, as if he personified the power and seductive irritation of every fragrant phantom in the air and in her breathing. The next section is prose. George. This part of Damascus had not been flattened by ISIL or Israeli firepower, and Claire and I had judged that it was safe for us to bring Corbin, as long as the Russian air defence, provoked by the Israeli stratagem that brought down the Russian Ilyushin 20 surveillance aircraft, stayed in place. We were there for Emily Nahida. Emily Nahida was a 3-year-old Druze child whose father had died in a car accident in Mount Druitt, and whose mother had brought her on holiday to her grandparents in El Safa, where she and her grandmother were kidnapped with a group of other women and children by ISIL. Emily Nahida had then been transferred to the White Helmets in Idlib. The White Helmets were supposedly a peaceful NGO protesting against Syrian army atrocities, but were really a Western-funded propaganda wing of ISIL, staging false flag atrocities themselves. Emily Nahida, who had the Mount Druitt delicate blondness which often camouflaged migrant children, was to be the star of an expert White Helmets video in which she succumbed slowly and horribly to poisoned gas. This state-of-the-art snuff movie was to be produced when Russia and Syrian forces tried to regain control of Idlib. Luckily for Emily Nahida, the Russians did an interim deal with Turkey to remove ISIL forces from Idlib, and most of ISIL bussed themselves out to American-controlled areas where they felt safe. Many of their White Helmets were to become priority migrants to Western countries, but that is another story for me to tell you later. Emily Nahida was returned to live with the other hostages in El Safa. She was considered useful for bargaining, concluded Claire, returning to me the cell phone I had been given by my drinking buddy in Langley. I said, "He has just sent me new batteries for it. He is definitely not the anti-Russian CIA faction, although he's paranoid that all the CIA equipment has been programmed against him by the Chinese." Claire said, "Who did, after all, manufacture it? The American companies had long ago disappeared in busy tides of globalization." To be fair to him, I've noticed that the satellites the phone finds first are Chinese. When Claire and I arrived in Damascus, the Al Safa Druze villagers were pressuring the Syrian army to free the Druze hostages from ISIS, and the Syrian army people were working out a strategy to do this before they creamed the remaining ISIS in those strange, desolate volcanic hills. In Mount Druitt, the rest of Emily Nahida's family had approached our Prisoners of Conscience organisation, which was fast becoming the only NGO not funded by the company, to retrieve Emily Nahida. We had experienced some success with recently restoring kidnapped children, so here we were, and with Corbin. I had always known Damascus was called the City of Jasmine, but the perfume of it that day was beyond charm or tourism, and seemed pungent with ghosts, sexual spasm, and resurrection. Claire tuned into me as wryly as usual. And of course, the Druze do believe humans reincarnate as humans, don't they, darling? She seemed to be asking the back of Corbin's head, which her lips were brushing, but he looked at me, already knowing I was a collector of esoteric soul facts, and that her questions to him could involve triangulation.